Welcome to Divine Intervention. This is a podcast looking at the very finest and some of the best value South African wines with me, Chua Fraser, and our food and wine guru, Michael Oliphant. Sit back, enjoy, and if you've seen what the bottle is, buy one and taste it with us. Good evening and welcome to Divine Intervention. This is a podcast where we taste the finest products out of the Cape in terms of wines and spirits, ports, sherries, anything that's got a little bit of alcohol lurking in there. This evening, for the first time, we are tasting a whiskey from the Cape. Not just any whiskey, an award-winning whiskey, and hopefully a delicious whiskey. And joining me to go through this Baines Cape Mountain whiskey, down in the Cape, we have our food and wine guru, Michael Oliphant. Michael, good evening and welcome.
John, thank you so much. Really looking forward to this.
Well, thanks a lot for coming on and sharing your wit and wisdom with us again, Michael. With me in the Joburg studio, we have, for the third time in a row, and sadly for the last time in the current series of podcasts, Miguel Chan, who is the Chief Sommelier from Sogo Sun Hotels. Miguel,
good evening. Good evening, John, and thank you for having me.
Well, thank you very much indeed for once again doing this arduous task of slurping your way through a few sips of hopefully what will be a very nice wine. And also joining me, we have the former CEO of Satsa, who is now heading off to do some studying in Canada, Michael Tatalias. Michael, good evening and welcome.
Evening, John, and evening to listeners. It's great. It was great to be here. Thank you.
Michael, before we came on, Michael Tatalias, before we came on air, you were telling me that you hosted an event a while back, and that the speaker's gift was indeed this self-same whiskey.
Yes, and we chose it because it was a tourism product because it's made in South Africa. And we thought, well, okay, let's reward them with something South African. We were the Southern African Tourism Services Association, our conference. And we thought, let's try it. And we bought a few bottles for all our speakers. And to a man and lady, they all came back and said, absolutely wonderful. Thank you very much indeed. Really enjoyed it. So that set me on the path to actually think, this is a great product. We can do this stuff in South Africa.
Well, Michael Olive here. The Scottish do it very well. The Irish do it splendidly. The Canadians think they do it well. And there are many places in the world which make whiskey, whether or not they put that extra E in the spelling or not. What do you make of this proudly South African product, Baines Naturally Pure Cape Mountain Whiskey?
I think, you know, there's just so much going for it. I mean, Baines Cape Mountain Whiskey. Baines, obviously named after Andrew Geddes Baines, who was the famous road builder, and very close to the James Sedgwick Distillery in Wellington is, in fact, the Baines Kloof Pass with those famous bridges that he built. And, you know, the water comes from that mountain. It's filtering down through ancient granite and sandstone, and there's some fynbos at the edges as well. So it obviously starts off with a pretty good pedigree, even before they put the grain into the stuff to get it going. It's known as South Africa's first single grain whiskey. And it won the best grain whiskey in the world at the World Whiskey Awards this year in 2013. Looking at the color of the whiskey, my grandmother had a necklace with huge amber beads on it, and this is the sort of color that it is. It's perhaps slightly lighter than amber, but it's a really, really nice color in the glass. And I like, when I'm tasting whiskey, just to add the teensiest little bit of fairly pure water to it, because it just then you really start getting the nose coming through, and in a way the nose is quite sort of barrel oriented in that there's sort of vanilla and toffee there, but there is some sort of floral background. The whiskey's had 5 years in oak casks. It's had 3 years in the sort of initial maturation, and then another 2 years after that, and you land up with a really wonderfully smooth product, this sort of sweet vanilla undertow and spicy, and of course the oak is very prevalent as well, and this lovely long smooth, just stunning aftertaste.
Well, Michael, I am not going to go against the grain. I give Baines Cape Mountain Whiskey 2 thumbs up. It's a lovely drink. Certainly, it has nothing to be embarrassed about coming from South Africa. We do great bubbly, we do great whites, great reds, great ports, great sherries, and even if we can't call them all those names. At least we can call this whiskey without the E. But what do I know? Miguel Chan, chief sommelier from Sogo Sun. Is this something that you would be happy to serve to your top business visitors, to your international visitors?
Absolutely, John. This is a fantastic drop. This is really beautiful as a whiskey. And again, it shows you the potential of producing world-class alcoholic beverages in this country. And a consumer should seek out those brands, those Baines whiskey over a Scottish or Irish offering. And not only supporting the local industry, but they shouldn't be shy. It's really great to see such perfection in a glass.
And of course, a footnote, we also do some damn good brandies as well.
Oh, yes. Well, with that whiskey offering, it completes the round. From the wine, the bubblies, and then the brandies, now you have the whiskies. And yes, these are products that are available in all our hotels. We support the local industry.
Okay, Miguel, my prejudice probably is that a sommelier is somebody who knows about wine. Mm-hmm. But how important is it for somebody in your job to also be able to understand spirits and other alcoholic drinks which don't necessarily come from the grape?
It is huge today. Possibly 15 years ago, sommelier would talk only about wine. Today, sommelier needs to know everything from water, coffee, to whiskies and any beverages around the world. So it has got much more complicated as a task for us. But, you know, that's the beauty of the profession.
And Michael Titalius, we haven't asked you for your opinion yet of this. I've seen you having a few discreet slurps while we were chatting to our other guests. Are you enjoying the Baines naturally pure Cape Mountain whiskey?
Absolutely fantastic. And if you add to it the list of things South Africa as well, I think we've neglected to say the second largest beer producer in the world as well. We do a great range in beers. I think we're pretty good at the socializing and drinking stuff. But this whiskey is really up there with it. It's almost got a sort of a sense of a bourbon, a kind of a, to use a competitor, southern comfort, but a lot more sophisticated. It's got a great story. We're using wheat grains in this, and it comes from the Cape Mountain area where the wheat is grown. It's got the mountain passes of Geddes Baines and the history to do with that. And Baines himself was quite a Renaissance fellow. He did an incredible amount of stuff in the Cape, including the roads and the passes that opened up the interior to the colony at the time. So this is a great story in itself, and as a tourism product, if I was taking a tour and someone asked me what whiskey do you do in South Africa, I'd grab this one, because there's so many stories that you can get out of this, and all they would nobody, once you've convinced them to actually try it, is ever going to say, oh, that's a load of rubbish, I want to go back to the international brands. Once they've tried this, they're going to finish the evening with this. A couple of glasses, a couple of ice cubes, clinking away long into the early morning, this would be a great party piece, this one.
Now, Michael Olivier, we tend to chat on these Divine Intervention podcasts about pairing food and wine. Is a whiskey something you might have before a meal and then after a meal, or might there be an opportunity to have a spirits glass beside you instead of a wine glass?
Look, I think there's always a place for a whiskey like this one. I mean, obviously, with some very lightly salted toasted almonds or some stuffed olives before a meal, are fantastic. And again, after a meal, just as a glass poured over some ice, you can, as Michael says, you can sip till early hours of the morning. I think you need to be careful, though, when you get to the main course stuff. I think, when I think whiskey, I sort of usually think of smoked salmon, smoked meat of some kind, because I think the smokiness of the whiskey sort of matches the smokiness of the product. Nice charcuterie. I mean, there's some people down here who are making the most amazing cured pork products. And I think those are the sort of things that go really well with a whiskey like this.
Miguel?
Absolutely. It's the versatility of it, of pairing with dishes that have honey base, dry fruit base, and the smoky elements will be a match made in heaven.
Michael Titalius, would you feel that you're missing out if you only had whiskey to drink during a meal?
No, actually, it would be interesting, and I'd also like to have a stab at using this for some desserts and to cook it into the desserts as well. It'd be quite a lot of fun. I think if someone's got quite sophisticated and willing to have fun, I think they could try this out in a couple of things. You could do some of the amazing smoked dishes. And it goes with the smokiness. It's wonderful. I think you'd have a lot of fun. It certainly would be memorable because it's not what you'd usually do. And if you were the host and persuaded people to give it a go, they talk about it later. You remember it.
That's a good point, Michael Oliphant. Obviously, the Scottish people, and I have to confess that I am of Scottish ancestry.
It's me too.
They like pouring a bit of whiskey into their puds, don't they?
Absolutely. I mean, I can think of Miguel was talking about dried fruit. Wellington is the centre of dried fruit in South Africa. And we quite often make a steamed dried fruit pudding in winter, and then would make a custard and then put some whiskey in that, because, again, that's a quite a nice match taste-wise.
Well, Mr. Oliphant, I demand the recipe, and when you send it to me, I will also put it on the ZA Confidential podcast, and we will make sure that people searching the internet can find our website and can access it. Can I have a commitment from you?
Absolutely. As soon as we're done with this, I'll send it to you.
Excellent. And of course, Miguel, you'll be putting that as one of your desserts of the month. Sogo San.
Absolutely. I tell you, John, this is a bottle that any proud South African needs to have on their bar shelves.
Well, many thanks to our tasters this evening, to Michael Oliphant down in the Cape, once again, wit, wisdom, and a great sense of fun. It was lovely chatting to you again, Michael. Look forward to the next one.
Oh, so do I. Thanks, John.
And, of course, to Miguel Chan. This is the third time you've visited us in our studio. Let's hope that sometime in the future we will get you back.
Thank you for the opportunity, John. Looking forward to it.
And, of course, Michael Tatalis, you're heading off to Canada. Let's hope you'll be back at some stage.
Oh, I'll definitely be back. This is not a goodbye forever. It's just a see you for now.
And I must not neglect to thank our technical guru, Michael McDonald, who has helped us to make sure that this recording sounds almost sober and sensible, although I don't think he succeeded entirely. From me, John Fraser, many thanks for joining us on Divine Intervention. See you next time.